now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's word.
Well, with Thanksgiving being just 4 days away, I thought you might appreciate a forecast for this Thursday. With my apologies to Dick Smith, our own local weather prognosticator. So here's the forecast for Thursday, starting with Thursday. Turkeys will thaw, then warm in the oven to an afternoon high near 190. The kitchen will turn hot and humid, and if the cook is bothered, severe squalls may develop. During the late afternoon and evening, a cold front of knives will slice through the turkey, bringing an accumulation of 1 to 2 inches on platters. Drifts of mashed potatoes are likely, while cranberry sauce will create slippery spots. A severe weight gain watch has been issued for the entire area with increased stuffiness. During the evening, turkey will diminish and taper off to leftovers, dropping to a low of 34 in the refrigerator. Looking ahead to Friday and Saturday, high pressure to eat sandwiches will be established. Flurries of leftovers can be expected both days, with a 50% chance of scattered soup late in the day. This has nothing to do with my sermon, but I have the floor, so there you go. A prevailing theme throughout the Bible is thankfulness. There are nearly 150 verses that speak of thankfulness, of being thankful, and of giving thanks. Those who read the Bible and those who know the God of the Bible cannot escape the important role of thankfulness and giving thanks to God's people. The passage just read is loaded with all kinds of practical advice, but being so close to Thanksgiving, I want to focus on just the last three verses of the passage, verses 16, 17, and 18, which say, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, over the years, I've had many people ask me how to find God's will for their life, how to know God's will with certainty. I always answer the same way, by saying that we come to know God's will through a study of God's word. That it's in God's word that God's will is revealed. And sometimes they look at me like I don't have the slightest clue what I'm talking about. As if to say, God's will can't be that easy to find. It must be more complicated than that. And I respond with, why would God's will not be easy to find and know? God wants us to do his will, so why wouldn't he want us to know his will so we can do his will? I suspect that many people prefer the complicated route to finding God's will, because if it's complicated, it's harder to find. And if it's harder to find, then maybe they haven't found it yet. And if they haven't found it yet, then maybe there's no obligation to do it. Just a thought. Like the kid Saturday morning who wants to go out and play with his buddies, but his father wants him rather to rake the leaves. And so the father says to the son, do you want me to show you how to rake leaves, son? And the boy says, no. If there's something that we don't want to do, then why would we bother to find out how to do it? God has revealed his will in his word, whether we found it or not. And we're not excused from knowing it any more than a student is excused from knowing what's in the textbook because they didn't find it in there. In just 20 words, we see three things that are clearly God's will for us. God's will, in fact, for every believer in Christ. No mystery involved, no long and tedious search for what God has hidden from view. Nope, it's right here in plain language and pretty hard to miss. In fact, if we would consistently do just these three things, our lives would be radically changed. So let's spend just a few minutes looking at these verses together, starting at verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 5. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, these three phrases have three things in common. First of all, they all involve action that's unqualified. We're to be joyful, not just when we're happy, not just when everything's coming up roses, not when everything is turning out just the way we want it to. No, we're to be joyful always. And we're to pray, not just when we're in dire straits, not just as a desperate measure when all hope seems to be gone and the odds seem hopeless, not just when we're in church. No, we're to pray continually. And we're to give thanks, not just when we get something that's nice, not just when we feel thankful, not just out of guilt. No, we're to give thanks in all circumstances. Second, these are all commands, not suggestions. It's not, try to be joyful from time to time if it's not too much trouble. It's not, pray if you find it beneficial and you can work it into your busy schedule. It's not, consider giving thanks when you feel like doing it and you think of it. And third, all these things seem to be just a bit unreasonable, don't they? Don't they seem a bit unreasonable to you? How can I be joyful in joyless times? How can I pray continually? That sounds like a lot of praying to me. How can I be expected to give thanks when I don't even feel thankful? Wouldn't that make me a hypocrite? Well, two things come to mind. First is that these commands have been given to us, so we can assume that they're doable. Why would God give us commands that are impossible for us to keep? Second, these things we're told are God's will. So why would God tell us that a particular thing is an expression of his will, knowing all along that we would be unable to do it? And third, many commands are hard to obey, aren't they? Wouldn't you agree with that? Some commands are hard to obey. But being hard to obey does not exempt us from doing them. It just means that they're hard to obey. If you told your child that they must clean up their room before going outside to play, and they say, I can't do that because, fill in the blank, would you then as a parent respond with, oh yeah, I see your point, never mind. As parents, sometimes we ask our kids to do things that are unpleasant, and sometimes things that are even hard. But we don't, as a rule, ask our kids to do things that are impossible. And God doesn't ask us to do things that are impossible either. We can be sure that if God gives us a clear command and assures us that it's his will for us to obey it, then we can do it. So we're commanded first to be joyful always. Now, how does that work exactly? Well, joy is about focus. There's always something for a believer to be joyful about, always. It's really just a matter of whether we choose to focus on it or not. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Think about such things. Now, there are two implications from this verse. The first one is that there are things that have these qualities. There are things that possess these attributes, or else we couldn't think about them, could we? See, we're told to think about these kinds of things, so they must be out there. And second, thinking about them requires focusing on them. We don't just think about these things naturally. It requires a concerted effort and focus on our part, and so does being joyful. Now, sometimes things happen to us, or we hear some great news that causes joy to kind of spontaneously well up within us. We don't have any control over it, it just happens. That's not what we're talking about here. Naturally occurring spontaneous joy welling up in us needs no command, does it? We don't need to be commanded to be joyful if it's naturally occurring and it just wells up in us. It just happens whether we focus on it or not. But this doesn't happen always, does it? Have you noticed that in your own life? You don't have constant welling up of joy that you just can't control. It's just 100% of the time. No, it comes and goes, doesn't it? It's unpredictable. Being joyful always cannot depend on circumstances because nobody has a life where spontaneously welling up joy happens all the time. Have you ever known anyone like that? Do you want to know anyone like that? We would probably avoid them if we even discovered them. But there's always something for a believer to be joyful about. We just have to focus on it when we're inclined not to be joyful. Have you ever had a medical test when you were waiting for the results to come back? And maybe it was something that was pretty serious. Maybe you even dreaded hearing the results. Maybe you were a bit anxious over it and worried that the results might be unpleasant or even devastating when you got them. But then the results came in, and there was no problem whatsoever. You're perfectly fine, clear sailing ahead, no issue. Remember the sense of elation that you had? You were just so relieved that the news was good. You had this burden that was lifted from you. You were joyful. You were joyful. But then just a few days, or maybe even a few hours later, you pretty much forgot about it. You still had this good news. It was still good. It hadn't changed. And the effects were still present. They weren't gone. So what happened to the joy? Where did it go? Why did it leave? Well, it left because you started focusing on something else. You chose not to think about this particular thing any longer. Now, we all do this. It's just very natural. But maybe we should do it less than we do. What if you were to think about this thing at some future point? Might it bring joy, even though it's old news? Even though it happened in the past, might it not create joy in you because you remembered what it was like to get this news that brought this elation and joy? Why wouldn't it? The reality remains, and the burden has still been lifted off. Think of the many good things that have happened to you in the past, some of them of short duration, some of them that will last your whole life, and some of them that will last forever. It's only a question of what we choose to focus on and whether we will focus on these things, whether we choose to think about these things. I would suggest that this is the key to being joyful always. Even when things are not going so well, there is plenty of good to focus on. And that can make us joyful. Life gets hard at times for everyone. But we can be joyful always if we will choose to focus on the good things that we've already had. And there's a long list, I bet you, in this room. And the things that are ours forever. They will never be taken away. Well, the verse goes on to say we should also pray continually. Which does not mean that every waking moment we are to be in prayer. That would get kind of inconvenient, wouldn't it? If every single moment of the day you were in prayer. It means that prayer is to be consistent and regular and predictable. And it's to be a dedicated commitment for us. About the only thing we do every waking moment is breathe and pump blood through our bodies. Most other things we do at intervals. But the idea is that prayer is to be a pervasive part of life. Not sporadic, not occasional, not just when we can work it in, but continually. Again, we're talking about focus. It's difficult to pray without focus. Have you tried to pray without focus? I've done it, and you know, some pretty weird things come into your mind when you're not focused on prayer. Prayer requires some focus, but not complete focus. Otherwise, we couldn't pray while driving, could we? Or while taking a walk, or in an emergency. When we look at the various ways people prayed in the Bible, it's clear that prayer was about focus on praying itself, not all the other things we tend to associate with praying that in some way either qualify it or disqualify it. In the Bible, people prayed, for example, at different times, in the morning, in the evening, at noon, in the middle of the night, at dawn, and at various times throughout the day. People prayed for different lengths of time. There wasn't any standardized length where if you didn't pray for this amount of time, it really didn't count. And it wasn't going to be on your permanent record at all, just like you never did it. But people prayed all kinds of different lengths. Some prayed just for a moment. Some prayed for several minutes. Some for hours. Some all day. Some all night. Some for days, and some even for weeks. People prayed in different ways. Some standing, some kneeling, some sitting, some on their face, literally on the ground, on their face. Some in battle, some in groups, some alone, some with hands up, some with hands down, on mountains, in valleys, in gardens, in palaces, even on rooftops. As believers, our prayer is to be an incessant part of our lives. Consistent, regular, spontaneous, planned, formal, informal, day, night, you name it. But we are to pray continually. And we are to give thanks in all circumstances. Now keep in mind that there's a difference between being thankful and giving thanks. Being thankful is an attitude that we should have. Giving thanks is an action that we should take. No matter what you have, or how you got it, or how you keep it, in the final analysis, we only have what we have by God's grace. God gives us life, and God sustains life. And ultimately, everything we have is from God. That's why James reminds us. He said, every good and perfect gift is from above. The choir just reminded us of that this morning. As with joy and with prayer, giving thanks requires focus. It's not likely, as a rule, to just happen spontaneously. We will need to focus on it, and we will need perspective. Do you think that we might need perspective to give thanks in all circumstances? I suspect we will. Which reminds me of the story in the life of Alexander White from Edinburgh, Scotland, who was literally famous for his pulpit prayers. He was known throughout the land as a preacher whose prayers were famous. And to everyone's wonder and admiration, Every time he prayed, he always had something to thank God for. It didn't matter what the times were like, and the times in his day were often not so good. But regardless of the circumstances, he always found something to thank God for. Well, there was an especially stormy and bitterly cold winter Sunday morning, and the congregation was all waiting for Pastor White to begin his prayer because they saw no possible way that he could find anything on such a wretched morning to thank God for. So they waited anxiously to see what he would say. Well, after White climbed the stairs to the pulpit, he began his prayer, "How we thank thee, O God, that it is not always like this." Now, you gotta love a man like that. He had perspective. And perspective will often give us the insight we need to give thanks, even when it doesn't seem so logical to do it. Being thankful is an attitude prompted by a decision. No one will be thankful against his will. You can't make somebody be thankful. It's a decision that they must make. And giving thanks is an action prompted by a decision. Now, you can give thanks without being thankful, right? You can take the action of giving thanks without being thankful, but you can't give thanks without action. Giving thanks is not passive, it's active. But it commands us to give thanks in all circumstances. But isn't the whole idea of giving thanks that we're prompted to do this because of something for which we're thankful? I mean, isn't that the idea? If circumstances are not good, then what is there to be thankful for and give thanks for? Of course, we could always give thanks that the circumstances are not as bad as they could be, right? Which is what Mr. White did. But there will always be something to give thanks for, just as there will always be something to be joyful about. Always. We just have to focus on it. James reminds us of another important principle, that even in the midst of trials, we can have joy and be thankful. Because even trials, we're told, have a purpose. Trials help us grow as believers. In fact, without trials, it's doubtful that we would grow very much. We might grow a little bit, but not like we do when we have to face and confront, and go through trials. That's when we really grow by leaps and bounds. Now, there are probably very few of us here who like trials. Who likes trials? Don't raise your hand, because we would rather not know. But all of us here can be joyful in trials and thankful in trials because we know trials help us grow, which is a good thing, right? Notice it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances. Big difference. You see, we can be thankful in something without being thankful for something. Believers can give thanks in all circumstances because we already have the best things that we will ever get from this life. No matter what the circumstances happen to be, we already have them. True believers can be thankful in all circumstances. Why? Let me just give you just a handful, just a sampling. Their salvation is secure. God's promises have been given to them. Great and precious promises, we're told. God promises never to leave them. They're at peace with God. Nothing can separate them from the love of God. They will never perish. Their sins are forgiven. All of their sins are forgiven. They have everything they need for life and godliness. Their inheritance will never perish, spoil, or fade. Their redemption is certain. And there are no circumstances that will ever put any of that at risk. No circumstances will ever put any of those things at risk. So we can remain thankful and even give thanks when prospects are bleak, when the sky is black, and options are few. For the believer, our best days are ahead of us, no matter what the days are like now, whether they're good or not so good. If we haven't come to realize it by now, hopefully we will soon, that no matter how good things get, there will always be things that we can complain about and whine about. True? Things can always improve. Things can always be better than they are now. Likewise, when things are not so good, they can almost always be worse, right? Like the old saying, I complained that I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Kind of puts it in perspective. There will always be people who are better off than you. And there will always be people who are worse off than you. There will always be people who have more than you. And always be people who have less than you. You can always be in better health than you are now. In fact, you know how when we get sick, it reminds us that our health can always be worse than what it is now? It's kind of a in-your-face reminder. And for the last year or two or three or whatever it is, you know, we weren't sick. And then the next day we're sick and it's like the whole world is collapsing around us. But it reminds us of how all that time in the past we had been blessed, but we forgot or we didn't even think about it. Even when times are great, they could be better. And even when times are bad, they could be worse. If we decide not to be thankful and not to give thanks, we will always find a reason to not do it. Always. There's never a short supply of reasons why we can come up with for why we should not give thanks. And when we make up our minds to give thanks, we'll always find a reason to do so. There are lots of reasons to give thanks. Always. Always. So this Thanksgiving and every Thanksgiving and every day in between, we now know three things that are unmistakably God's will. We don't have to even search for them. They're right there. They're already revealed to us. Three things. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we have been reminded from your word today that we not only can be joyful always and pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, but your word commands it of us. And we know that it's mostly about deciding to be, focusing on it. Because there are no end of ways you have blessed us. There's no end to the different things you have given us. Some temporal for this life only, and some that can literally never be taken away. They will always be ours, no matter how gray the sky is, and no matter how bleak the future may look. And this alone is enough to give us joy. So we thank you for the admonition. We thank you for making these commands so clear. And we pray by your Spirit when we are weak and we don't even feel like being joyful. We don't even feel like praying. We don't even feel like giving thanks. May your Spirit override those feelings. And may we focus and realize how much we have to be joyful about. And what a great privilege it is to pray. and how much we have to give thanks for. Not only this season and this week, but every day that you give us. Help us to be faithful in this way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.